We are right now, 1 week out from the beginning of the NFL draft, and I am here to tell you that, well, hang on a second. Good morning to you. Good Thursday morning. I'm Dan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports. This is Daily Shot of Steelers. It comes your way bright and early every weekday. If you're into hockey and or baseball, the two sports that I've been here in New York this week to cover, I also offer daily shots of Penguins and Pirates in the same place that you found this. I hope you'll check those out as well. 1 week. 1 week. And we will know possibly who the Steelers will take with the 20th overall selection. My feeling, it's not a prediction, it's not a forecast, it's definitely not a mock anything, is that the Steelers are intensively interested in this pack of offensive tackles that's near the top of this class. And when I say near the top of this class, I'm referring obviously to whatever exists of this class that does not constitute quarterbacks who just might fill the first three slots, maybe more, which does not constitute cornerbacks. Not that the Steelers would throw one out if they got one, but it just doesn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Yes, there are some good ones there, but you're going to have so much similarity in the caliber of the prospect still in that round, at that point in that round, that you can lean toward a position over another. Joey Porter Jr. just came through for you in a big way. Get yourself a veteran on the other side if you, unlike the Steelers apparently, don't believe in Dante Jackson. But they sound like they do. So forget about cornerback as well. What you're left with is offensive tackle, wide receiver. Not necessarily even in that order. If it's me and all things are equal, I take the wide receiver. I don't matter. Arthur Smith does. My guess is that Smith is going to look at tape of this team and its performance that it got from Dan Moore at left tackle and say, hang on a second. I don't have one problem here on this line. I have two. I've got a first round kid playing out of position on the right side. And I've got somebody who hasn't been all that great playing on the left side, which is more important. One would think, really, I would say outright hope, that both of those can be addressed in a single swoop. It can. You get yourself somebody who's a right tackle, somebody who's a big, athletic, monstrous-like freak who can get a lot of things done over there for you. And you're comfortable moving Broderick Jones over to where Omar Khan himself said a week ago he's going to be moving sooner rather than later. From there, turn Dan Moore into a swing tackle. You're not paying him anything. Actually, you're not paying really any of them anything because they're all on their rookie contracts. Both of those are generally now very expensive positions. It used to be just be the left side. Now it's the right side as well. So you look at your offense, you're not paying your tackles and you're not paying your quarterbacks. It's crazy. It's like getting away with a crime. Meanwhile, if something were to happen and Moore were to just magically blossom, if he were to have his Kevin Dotson time, or maybe he would just benefit from having a new coordinator or a new environment, which a new coordinator can represent all by himself and have his Kevin Dotson time, then, okay, then sign him and he'd still be the only one you'd be paying for a while and you'd have three of them in the fold. So which player might they be looking at? Well, again, it's a really, really good group of tackles. There isn't a no-brainer at 20 where you say, oh, yeah, it's got to be this guy or else you're just going to have to pass on the position altogether. The one I've been looking at for a long time and I continue to look at more than anyone else is Amarius Mims. And I honestly don't know that any of the knocks that are commonly levied against him are going to stick with NFL executives. Number one knock. Well, he hasn't played all that much. Okay. Was hurt, wasn't necessarily putting himself into the best position to be out there all the time, whatever. Here's what I know. In all those games that Mims missed at Georgia, in all those games, he remained 6'8", 340 pounds, with a 71-inch wingspan. My God, that cannot be coached, okay? He could be one of those guys who's just an engulfer, where he stands over there and he just blocks people by existing. And you know what I'm talking about when I refer to those types of tackles. I'm talking about the Jonathan Ogden variety. Those are the ones who end up staying in the league for 100 years and then go to Canton when they're done. Here again, I'm not predicting, I'm not forecasting, I'm not sending Mims to Canton. I'm saying that that's that type. He's 21 years old, guys, which also really ought to come up, because whatever issues you might have with either his durability or his commitment to a certain level of conditioning that would keep him on the field more often, he's 21 years old. He also, according to most scouts, not all of them, is someone who'd likely be equally capable at left or right tackle. So if you hear him identified as a left or whatever, just roll your eyes at it and move on. He does something that other humans can't do, which is to be gigantic. When we come back, J1Q.
This segment of Daily Shot is brought to you by our good friends at Mike's Beer Bar. They're located on Federal Street, directly across from PNC Park. Mike has more than 500 beers on tap, including from more than 50 local breweries. Stop in and say hello. Tell Mike we sent you. Mike's Beer Bar.
Today's J1Q comes from Jay, who says, DK, it seems like there's a lot of talk now about the Steelers working or trying to work out some kind of trade for a name brand wide receiver. That would be great, but aren't they going to need to pay an actual quarterback salary to either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields next season? If they commit to an expensive receiver this season, then what happens in 25? Jay, you are following the right franchise, my friend, because the answer I'm about to give you is the same they would give you, only I'm going to be a little bit more blunt about it. And that is that they'll worry about 2025 when it gets here. I've been referring somewhat lightly and somewhat casually to the 2024 season as being a do or die for the Steelers. It's not, of course. However, when you're talking about Cam Hayward and you're talking about getting the very peak versions of TJ Watt and Minkah Fitzpatrick, the more special players that you have in your fold, you're not talking about 2025. You're talking about 2024, and you want to get stuff done while they're most capable of being their specialest, not a word, version of themselves. So if you're referring here to Brandon Ayuk, as I assume you are, since he's the one that comes up invariably now, I've brought him up myself. I love the guy's play. I feel like there's so much that he can add to Pittsburgh, aside from the obvious that he's just a really good football player. I feel like he would be just exactly that missing piece that's not there right now. Not to replace Deontay Johnson, but to be a lot better than Deontay Johnson, but to also be the possession guy, to be that dynamic guy, the yards after the catch guy, that guy who keeps people off of George Pickens, that guy who keeps you honest against Pat Freiermuth. You see where I'm going here, okay? There's a lot of different things. You see, I'm also getting a little bit excited right now. That would be wonderful. And I would not worry about 2025 in that context. Why? Because Omar Khan is my general manager. And Omar Khan's specialty, even though he doesn't like when people say this, I'm going to say it anyway, is the cap. He is, ready for it, a cap guy. I don't know if you guys remember, those of you who are newer with me, but when I asked Omar at his introductory press conference how he felt about being a cap guy, didn't seem to enjoy it. We had a good laugh about it afterward, but in the moment it was like, really, dude, that's what you're going to do here with me? You're going to stick me with cap guy? Omar is more than capable of hiding salaries. He can hide them in his left pocket, his breast pocket. He can hide them under the bed. He'll figure that out. I wouldn't sweat that one at all. I also, by the way, wouldn't sweat, and this is only since you brought this up, any sort of prospective detail about how much you're going to be paying a quarterback in the future. You don't even know who that's going to be. If Russell Wilson turns out to be that player, yes, he's going to be enormously expensive. However, he's also now going to be climbing into his late 30s as opposed to his mid 30s. How much are you really committing? If it's going to be Fields, well, I mean, think about what a blessing that would be, because that would mean that he earned it. And that would mean that everything that everybody in Pittsburgh has been clamoring for now, since the day that Ben Roethlisberger ran his lap around Heinz Field, would have come true. Now you're going to have an elite prospect with the brightest of futures as your quarterback for years to come. So you won't mind paying him. That'll be a great thing. And I'll say it again, you'll easily be able to afford him because you have Omar. I appreciate the question. I appreciate everybody listening to Daily Shot of Steelers. And we're going to do one more of these this week, tomorrow.